The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In one of the first public sermons that Christ had, not the first, but one of the first, the Sermon on the Mount, one statement he made, which we can find in Matthew 6:33, he said, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So as Christians, we're instructed that the kingdom of God is very, very important, and it's something that we should seek. And the kingdom of God covers quite a vast thing. The New Testament talks about the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of God. But in Matthew 6:33, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God, it also has something else, and it says, and his righteousness. Turn to Mark 12. Mark 12, verses 28. Starting there. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him," which is Jesus, "which is the first commandment? And Jesus answered him, The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So Jesus summed up many of the things that are important in a Christian's life. When Jesus first came on the scene, so turn to Mark 1, as far as his public life. After he had visited John and been baptized, and he went up into be tempted of the adversary, it says in Mark 1:14, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So let's think, that was around 2,000 years ago. And one of the first things he said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. So here he is in the Jewish nation of Judah, being with the nation ruled by the Roman Empire at that time. And they weren't free. They had to obey the rules of the government. And here he is saying, repent, again, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now in the Holy Scriptures, Israel, the Jews, the Jewish nation, has been looking for the Messiah. And they were looking for, at this point in time, someone to remove them from being controlled. And they wanted that very, very much. So here's this individual, Jesus, preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. So his countrymen thought he was talking about restoring Israel to preeminence, because that's what they so much wanted. In fact, we can see this in Acts 1, verse 6. This is when Jesus is going to go up to the Father, just before Pentecost on the 40th day, in 1:6. And the disciples, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, Jesus had taught them many, many things in their 3.5 years. And they remember, they hadn't received God's Holy Spirit. Jesus wasn't living inside them. The Holy Spirit was with them. They understood certain things. But there was something that still didn't connect. They concentrated on the fact that they wanted Israel to no longer be under subjection of Rome or to be under the subjection of any country. They wanted Israel to be on top, the ruling nation, and spread Judaism, or that's the way they would have been thinking at this point in time, throughout the world, learning God's way, being able to spread God's way of life or his teachings that way. That's what they were thinking. And of course Jesus told them, that time is not for you to know, and we'll get to that eventually. Well, just in John 11, in verse 23, after Lazarus died, Jesus said to Martha, he said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And in verse 27, she said, yes, to him. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. So Jesus taught his disciples who he was and the position he had. But still, at the time where Christ ascended to the Father, that's the word I was looking for before, ascended to the Father, they still were thinking that a physical kingdom would be restored. And one of the reasons for this, or that they had in their scripture, turn to Daniel chapter 2. Verse 34. There we go. And this was after a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and then Daniel had to explain it to him. And he says, it was toward the end of the dream, and you saw till that a stone was cut out without hands, and which smote the image upon his feet, and that were both iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then as the iron, the clay, and the brass, and the silver, and the gold broke to pieces together, became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof, O king. Oops, 34 and 35. Now go to verse 44. And in those days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain, without hands, that broke it in pieces in iron and brass and clay and silver and of gold, the great God which has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure." So they were looking forward to a physical kingdom, and kingdoms of and Gentile kingdoms put aside, where Israel would be again the top kingdom. As we read earlier, Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. And there was another part. Not only did he say the kingdom of God is at hand, but he also told the people to repent and believe in the gospel. The repentance would be equivalent to obeying the first and second commandment that he mentioned, where he summed up God's Ten Commandments and God's will. To turn toward God, and this is how you're supposed to live. And then to believe God, to believe the gospel that he's preaching. Turn to Luke 4. Part of the gospel that he preached when he was talking about the kingdom of God. We know about the parables. We've heard about how important the kingdom of God is and how precious it is. It's that pearl of great price. In Luke 4, verse 14, "Now Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went through the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Now, can you imagine? Here's Jesus reading this on the synagogue, on the Sabbath, pretty much in his home area. And then he stops. It says in verse 20, "He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down." And then it says, "And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" And then skipping down in verse 43, he later says in another location, he later says, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." Jesus came to proclaim that God's kingdom would be here and that we should seek it. And he was also showing his place in it. In John, turn to John 5. John 5, verse 39. He was talking to his countrymen, and they were having problems. They were having a problem with what he was saying. And in verse 39, he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And then he said, "And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life." So in Jesus' teachings to his countrymen, he was talking to them about God's kingdom and his role in it and the role that his countrymen needed to accept so that they could have eternal life. He was saying there is eternal life in the scriptures. And as we know from other scriptures, that it's through Jesus Christ that we have that eternal life. Because by no other name can we be saved. The news of the kingdom of God that Jesus was preaching went through the whole nation of Israel at that time. John started with it, and then Jesus added on to it and proclaimed it. It was the hot news of the day, and people listened to what he had to say. Now, not everybody believed, but it was the hot news of the day. Again, people were looking forward to Israel being placed on top. They weren't necessarily understanding that there was spiritual news that Jesus was bringing to them. But this news was very important. In fact, turn to John 3. Let's see, is there a way? In John 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So here's Jesus, the Messiah, on earth. And in God's plan, where he would have to die for mankind. This was the same being that we find in Genesis 3. So turn to Genesis 3. In verse 22, where it says, "And the Lord said," after Adam and Eve rejected God's word and sinned, "And the Lord said, and the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore God sent him forth out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, and which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, to protect the tree of life, so that man would not be able to partake of the fruit, because man was cut off at this point in time. The very being that had this done and had man put out of the garden was now there, ready to give his life for mankind. This was part of the kingdom. This was part of the preaching of the kingdom of God and the things that we've been taught. It was a plan that God had from the foundation of the world. He taught his disciples and was ascended into heaven, as I mentioned earlier. And then it was a few days later that his disciples received the Holy Spirit. And then his disciples went out and preached the gospel of the kingdom of God to the world. And it's the same gospel that we have and that we are supposed to preach. Because it's the fundamentals of our beliefs. And as I started out with, in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.